At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products. Because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to a Thursday night at VSiN's Primetime Action. Glad you could join us. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. Got some basketball tonight. Brooklyn and Milwaukee. Game number 6 from Milwaukee. Brooklyn tries to close out the Bucks. Bucks favorites, though. We'll talk about that as the game, on the run-up to the game, about a half hour from now. We'll talk U.S. Open golf, see how our bets are doing there. And a whole bunch of baseball as well. And we got some games that are starting. Actually, one game that starts in a few minutes, Matt, in Houston.
One game that starts about a half hour asterisk.
Yes.
Yes, we'll put an asterisk.
We're gonna set the over-under tonight at 17 minutes after scheduled tip-off time for the actual tip-off.
We do have an 8:10 Eastern, 5:10 Pacific. That's the White Sox and the Astros. Dylan Cease and Jose Urquidy. So a very nice pitching matchup in this one. -132 if you want to back Urquidy and the Astros. +110 if you want to come in on the White Sox. Gil, one thing that was fairly interesting to me, and I think this is probably more the lineups here as it is the guys on the hill, but this is a 9 total in this game with Cease and Urquidy on the hill. I'm guessing, you know, all said and done, two very, very potent lineups that any pitcher basically on the planet not named Jacob DeGrom can get blown up by pretty much any single
You're saying
night.
You felt it was a little high.
Little high.
You play the under? No?
I didn't. It was interesting to me, the 9 that was popping there. Brewers and the Rockies in, you know, we'll do that in about a half an hour thing here. Brandon Woodruff on the hill for the Brewers. Armand Marquez on the hill for the Rockies. Woodruff and the Brewers, -162. +138 if you want Marquez and the Rockies, as you would imagine. We're playing at Coors Field, so we have a 10 total in that one. And then another 8:40 Eastern, 5:40 Pacific, the Reds and the Padres. Wade Miley on the hill for the Reds. Joe Musgrove on the hill for the Padres. -190 for Musgrove and the Padres. Miley in the Reds, +160. And the reason I say that that way, Gil, is this Reds team is one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball right now. So
market loves the Padres.
So +160 here on the Reds. Again, not in my account yet, but I might actually dig into this one just a little bit more. We got a little bit of time before first pitch in this one. We do have a couple of later first pitches we can talk about.
Yeah, one of the games that's going on right now, I just wanted to comment on, St. Louis at Atlanta. It's John Gant against Charlie Morton. The Braves, a preflop minus 185 favorite in that game. It's scoreless at the top of the fourth. But I just want to point out John Gant, one of these magicians in terms of what he's done this year. He's 4-4, by the way, in the win-loss column. But John Gant is one of these pitchers. You say, how in the world is John Gant 4-4? He has a, and this is always boys and girls, when you have a walk rate that is either the same as your K rate or better, it's red alert. And in John Gant's case, he's got a 16.3% K rate and a 16.3% walk rate. And somehow he's been able to forge a 4-4 record. He has a 3.36 ERA, but a fielding independent of 4.99, a difference of 1.63 runs. So the advanced stats basically telling you John Gant shouldn't be 4-4. The Cardinals are justified as a plus 170 favorite, and yet you look up at the scoreboard, 0-0.
0-0. Don't want to pass up on hockey tonight either. Lightning and the Islanders drop here momentarily. If you do want to get in, Lightning minus 134 there. You can find a plus 120 out there on the Islanders if you did want to take the underdog.
Andy McNeil, glad you said that. Andy McNeil, our hockey expert from Edmonton, Alberta, who you can follow at Digital Gambler. He likes the price on the Lightning tonight at minus 135. But Islanders fans, there is some solace. He has been banging his head into the wall, fading the Islanders all postseason. So he admits to that, but he does like the value on the Lightning. By the way, with minus 125 that we're showing right here on the screen, all the more, he would say, bet on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. That series tied at one game apiece after the Lightning were able to knot it up in game two, in a game where the referees really the officials took center stage more than the two clubs themselves. So that's game three. Last night, the Canadiens saved me. Big win over the Vegas Golden Knights. 3-2 win to even up that semifinal. Game three tomorrow night back in, this time in Montreal. They go north of the border. Canadiens plus 140 dogs. Knights minus 160 favorites on the road for game three there. But the Isles and the Lightning, as you said, Matt, just about to face off in Long Island. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. This is VSiN's Primetime Action. If you're new to the show, you're wondering, what are these guys all about? They're talking about all these sports so randomly. Because we're bettors. We not only watch sports, but we look to bet on them. And we look to bet on them in-game if the opportunity arises. Let's take, before we get to the review of last night's game, let's take tonight's basketball game between the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are 5.5-point favorites in Game 6 tonight, fighting for their lives. If they lose, their season is over. The Nets are trying to close them out. There will be James Harden on the court. There will not be Kyrie Irving. That's the story here with the Brooklyn Nets, but they are 5.5-point dogs. You and I both took positions on the total, Matt.
Yes, I have the over 220. You're on the over 111.5 in the first half. Mm-hmm. This was one of the plays here where I think there was just a little bit of overcorrection. The Nets have gone under several different times, so they kept ticking down this total. The Bucks are a team that have pushed the pace all year long and have pushed the pace even in this series to this point. And just both of these teams, whether kind of flip-flopping which team it was, but have shot poorly in the game at one point or another and has kept these games under. So if I can just get a little bit of a correction there and get a decent, solid performance from both teams here, I feel pretty confident in the over 220. And that one, I assume that's something along the same lines as your handicap.
The only difference being I didn't want to mess around with the second half in case things got out of hand either way.
But as you mentioned, 5.5, this thing hit six a couple different times today.
So that's what I wanted to ask you two about. Do you think that number is justified? Like, for me, and we talked about this a little bit before, and we hadn't talked before, we both were tempted to take Brooklyn plus the points.
I got so far as to have it pulled up on the app and
me
then
too.
Loaded and then didn't hit the button for whatever reason. I don't know why I didn't get there.
Just for me, it was just because I'd rather wait for an in-game moment to do that.
Yeah, I honestly, this series has been tough for me because early on when the Nets were winning those games, I didn't think the Bucks were playing up to the potential that they could be playing at. And then, this last game was so wacky, and I don't know that like, it's a lot to ask Kevin Durant to replicate what he did last game, and a lot of what they got out of those guys. I think even Blake Griffin, you know, 7 for 11 from the field last game. Jeff Green going 8 for 11, 7 for 8 from 3.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing, right? It's like, as you look at this, and that was what my internal debate. But I mean, if we want to run down the whole thing here, obviously Nets are up 3-2 in the series. Took game 1 by 8, took game 2 by 39. Bucks come back, take game 3 by 3, take game 4 by 11, and then we get to this game 5 that we're talking about right here, where the Bucks led by 14 after the first quarter. They won the second quarter by 2 points, so they take a 16-point lead to half. And then the Nets won the second half 71-49 to win the game by 6. The big story being Kevin Durant, as Kelly's talking about, the Kevin Durant game here that will live probably for forever. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, and played every second of the 48 minutes throughout the course of the game. My internal struggle, Kelly, was this. So, yes, you have to figure there's a regression coming from Durant. And then also, Jeff Green had 27 on 8 of 11 from the field, 7 of 8 from deep. And so you're like, okay, is he really going to replicate that again? But then the other part of me starts going, well, but then James Harden played 46 minutes and was only 1 of 10 from the floor and 0 of 8 from downtown. So maybe Jeff Green isn't quite as good, but James Harden's a little bit better. And so this was like what was going on in my head all day long. I'm kind of like, I was fighting with myself. And I'm like, if I have to fight this much, then I'm just not going to make a play.
I would say a fairly easy pass for me, because the problem is, I think the I don't know if I believe as much as you, I guess, that I think Harden's going to look as much more healthier in this game. I think what he was, I think he did a great job doing what he could in that game, helping facilitate as a point guard. He took a lot of outside shots. He didn't make any of them. But
eight assists for him.
Right,
eight assists in the game.
Yeah. I think that's great, and I think we could see that again from him tonight. I think for him to do too much better, I think it would surprise me. I think he could, but it would surprise me. I would love to play the Bucks. The problem is right now with the Bucks and the 76ers, I think these teams are not only, you know, somewhat physically broken, I think they're mentally broken too. I think there's been things that have happened in both of these series that just don't. I mean, the coaching and matchup decisions that the Bucks have made all series long have made no sense to me. I think there's probably some internal issues going on with that team right now. And then I'm sure we'll get to it at some point. But 76ers back-to-back collapses. I just don't believe in either of these teams right now.
If you want to play the Bucks tonight,
yeah,
would you just look to play the Bucks at plus 185 on the series line as opposed to playing them tonight?
I know what you're saying, but I can't do that.
But I guess what I'm saying, because your handicap here obviously is that you feel like Durant can't do what he did again. He's not going to be able to get the help. Well, James Harden's not going to magically get healthy in the next 3 days.
You might as well extrapolate that.
Instead of laying minus 110 on tonight, like, do you not just get plus 185 for Bucks on the series? Because again, it's going to be the exact same handicap in the next game, right?
I think what you just said I would apply to the other two series, but not to this one. In other words, in this series, there is no chance, in my mind, there is no chance the Bucks win both Game 6 and Game 7.
Okay.
But in the other series, if you have conviction on the Sixers or on the Jazz, now keep in mind, the Sixers are favorites in Game 6, the Jazz are favorites in Game 6. If either extends it, or if both extend it to Game 7, they will be even bigger favorites in Game 7, their respective Game 7s, yet they are dogs on the series price. By the way, the math on that is correct. But to answer your question, I would apply what you're saying to those two teams. If I'm going to play those two teams, I would just play them on the series price.
So and that's it, and Gil, that's the, and that we'll talk about this later in the show, but that's kind of a little bit of a dilemma or decision I have to make when I've got series prices on both Clippers and Hawks, and obviously my Hawks futures. And that's like, I think the 76ers are broken. I think I'm just going to ride my Hawks futures. I feel confident they're going to win this series. But I think I'm going to play a little bit of a Jazz price now at a plus 145, plus 150 you can get out there. I would do it with all three of these series, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I can't get past the Bucks are not beating the Nets in this series. I just can't see it. By the way, Kawhi ruled out officially, for those who missed it, for Game 6 between the Clippers and the Jazz. Let's talk a little bit about what happened last night, or maybe a lot about it. Atlanta and Philly last night was the game that we were on primetime action here, present for most of it. And again, we have this knack of going off air when there's one narrative, and then as soon as we go, everything seems to shift. But the Sixers led this game by 26 points last night. a game after they were leading the Hawks by 18 and squandered that lead. And if you recall, after that game, I was saying, I had to go back and watch it. I'm not sure how the Hawks were able to win game four. Well, how about a 26-point lead? How about that? Here's according to ESPN Stats and Information, by the way, Sixers only team to blow an 18-point lead in back-to-back playoff games in the last 25 seasons. They had a win probability of 95.5% at one point in Game 4, and it reached 99.7% late in the third quarter of Game 5. The blown 26-point lead tied for the third-largest blown lead in a playoff game over the last 25 postseasons. By the way, you can keep on, you know, there's about 10 of those superlatives or amazing stats for that game last night, one of which, by the way, and I'm just going to go to my phone to get this.
I saw Doc Rivers one where he has like five of like the seven biggest collapses in postseason history, something like that.
I listed them on a numbers game this morning. We have the graphic. There's like since the Celtics, since he won the world championship with the Celtics in 2008, there's about eight different instances of Doc Rivers coach teams, whether the Celtics or the Clippers, and now the Sixers, that have just had epic collapses. And at some point, look, you have to look at Doc Rivers and say, this can't happen. It's unconscionable. Here it is. And you could go through those one by one, but there it is. Up 3-2 in Orlando in 2009, lost. Up 3-2 on the Lakers in the finals in 2010 with the Celtics, lost. Up 3-2 on the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2012, lost. 2013, clip show now. Up 3-2 on the Grizzlies, lost. By the way, Game 7 at home. 2014, Clippers blow 15-point lead in Game 5 versus OKC, end up losing the series in 6. And that's just half the list, right? 2015, blow the 3-1 lead to the Rockets. 2016, Clippers up 2-0 on the Blazers. They lose 4-2 with four straight losses. 2017, they lose Game 7 at home to the Jazz. Last year, who could forget, the Clippers blow the 3-1 lead to the Nuggets. And then last night and the night before, or the game before. 18-point lead in Game 4, as we mentioned, 26-point lead in Game 5, outcome of the series TBD. Now, that's the thing. They can still win this series, right? But Joel Embiid last night, just, again, two botched free throws at the end, looked hurt. You thought you're thinking he may not be around for Game 6.
I don't know if I want to go that far. I think he'll still try to give it a go because he's done it all series. But there was a moment with about a minute, maybe a minute 30 left in that game where he went for a rebound, went down to the ground. I mean, there was a massive grimace on his face. I was surprised the broadcast didn't really bring it up, but he looked like he kind of yelled out in pain and quickly got up and kind of looked like he walked it off a bit. But, I mean, he hasn't looked like the same guy the past two games, right? He has not looked like the same player in the second half of both those games.
The other thing, Matt, and there's so much blame to go around, Ben Simmons, 4 of 14 from the free throw line.
I think the two big narratives from last night, one of which was Embiid and Curry did all of the scoring, and there was not any help from any other player on that team.
37 and 36, respectively.
Did not have any help from anybody else on that team whatsoever. Tobias Harris, the guy that we were sitting here talking about, like, oh, man, look at him. He's been great. He's been kind of going for that 18 to 22 points a game. Yeah, 2 of 11 from the field, 0 of 3 from downtown. 4 points for the game for Tobias Harris. Whenever we're looking at this guy who literally was giving them 20 a night. But the other one is that they went to Hackesimmons.
Went to Hackesimmons.
And implementing the Hackesimmons worked perfectly.
Had to take him off the court.
They had to pull in, which gets his defense off the court, which gets his rebounding off the court, which gets his assists off the court, and they had to put him on the sideline because the Hackesimmons was working so well.
Yeah, then there's even the matter of him not even looking for a shot because he doesn't want to go to the line.
He hasn't made a field goal in the fourth quarter of the past two games.
In fact,
he shot four times last time.
Yeah. So that's the other thing.
Only shot it.
You want that guy on your team? He only shot the ball four times?
When you possibly could have traded him for James Harden? How's that looking?
How about all the Sixers fans who, when you had that debate, who would you rather keep, Embiid or Simmons? A lot of them said, well, I'd rather keep Simmons.
Oh.
And to your point, Kelly, last two fourth quarters, games 4 and 5, Embiid 1 of 10 from the field, Tobias 0 for 5, Ben Simmons 0 for 0.
0 for 0. I thought I got to give Kendrick Perkins some credit. He's not a guy I necessarily usually love on ESPN, but he went on postgame last night and was ripping 76ers from top to bottom, starting with Doc Rivers, who he used to play for, and he thought it was almost egregious, where there was a time where he went with so long with Tobias Harris and the second unit because Tobias Harris was pouting about not getting looks and shots and plays run for him early in the game. So they were pulling Embiid and these guys off the court to try to give him shots. And Perkins, all he was like Tobias Harris having a bad night, but you can't cater to what he needs when your best player is Joel Embiid. Everything should be run through him. I thought it was a disaster.
But look, a 3-point loss. I mean, if you look at the stats, I mean, they were nearly identical everywhere except the free throw. Like, it was the hack of Simmons that changed this game. It wasn't an egregious differential in turnovers. They both shot 46% from the floor. If you look, the Hawks only were 9 of 26 from downtown, where the Sixers were 13 of 30. They actually shot way better from downtown, but 23 of 38 from the line for 60%.
Yeah.
And you lose by 3 points. That is the game right
there.
That is the
game.
Yep. That is the game right there.
We talked about it. Obviously, this game changed a lot by the time we got off air. But, like, we were even talking about it on air, Matt, where it was like, we still think Trae Young's banged up because he wasn't shooting the ball that well. But what he did do was facilitate and got to the line. And what was he, 17 for 19?
17 for 19 from the line.
I mean, that's incredible. And at the end of the game, when he finally starts shooting the ball well, what happens? They win that game, and we're sitting here today talking about where did it come from? Well, it was those free throw shots early in the game.
It's hard to make this point after the free throw point because the free throw point is just there in black and white, right? You make four more of those free throws, you win the game, right? But we talk about this every week during football season, right? Up and down, where we pick out games and we're like, if the coach had just managed the clock this way, had not thrown an incomplete pass there, had run the ball right, there's ways of game theory at the end of football games where we're like, you could have just preserved your win by doing this. And it frustrates us to no extent, to the utmost, how these NFL coaches don't have the presence of mind during those moments to figure out just how to win in the end. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. At some point, if you have an 18-point lead in Game 4 and a 26-point lead in Game 5, I know it's a different sport, but Doc Rivers has to figure out a way to just, even at the end of the game, just milk it to 24. I don't care if you don't even shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like, figure out a way to preserve the win. That's right.
It's the truth. One other thing we haven't mentioned, mainly because he hadn't been on the court all that much for the course of basically since he's been over there, but Lou Williams had a Lou Williams game last night for the first time.
Why not bring it up? Yep. Sweet Lou.
Like, he had 11 points in the fourth quarter. It was all the difference for them as well. Gave them that huge spark, and he finally had a Lou Williams game where he comes in late. He's on fire late and, like, just completely changes the entire, if you believe in momentum, like, you know, completely changes the whole momentum and dynamic of the game.
You know what it reminded me of? And I was kind of laughing at it, where it was like almost like Tyler Hero for the Heat last season, where they're like, you know what? We thought this guy was going to be good, and he's good. Let's give him some run. It was like somehow Sweet Lou just surprised the Hawks. So they're like, Nate McMillan's there, like, wow, this guy's pretty good. It's like,
for whatever reason, his whole career, he's turned it on late. Like, it's like this weird thing inside his body that, like, the fourth quarter, for whatever reason, is, like, different for this guy. And, like, wow, look at that. 11 points in the fourth quarter for him.
You could really do an hour on the Sixers. It's mind-boggling. Yeah. And yet, they can still win the series, right? They'll be favorites in both games. They can still win it, by the way, just to be clear about that. They are, in fact, tomorrow night, doubleheader, 2 Game 6s. Philly is a 3-point road favorite at Atlanta, followed by Utah, the Clippers, which we haven't even gotten to yet, where Utah will be a 2-point road favorite at L.A. The Paul George game last night, which we'll get into momentarily, talk about that briefly. Danielle will join us next. Find out what she's betting. We'll do some NFL props this hour as well. We got to talk U.S. Open golf and some interesting news, by the way, at Wimbledon. Whole bunch to get to on VSiN's Primetime Action.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode.
Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
VIP material. DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up using the promo code VSiN to claim your exclusive offer. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Must be 21 or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gil.
Danielle, I'm looking at your bets and I need a magnifying glass. Before we get to them.
Okay, there are five WNBA games today. It's unusually a high amount.
So you bet all five of them?
I did.
And how many bets do you have there?
That's 10. So a side and total for each game.
So side and total for all of them.
Yes.
Wow.
And they're all in play right now. Nothing's too far out of the realm right now.
Look at that. Dream Mystics over 164. Mystics, pick them.
Yeah.
What about the others?
So I'll just give you some quick notes on the ones that we don't have to go through all of these, but Dream Mystics, for the Mystics, Tina Charles is out. Right now, she's got out for personal reasons. They're also missing another player for a knee. So they are a little bit down, and that's why you were seeing this at a pick 'em, because I think normally the Mystics would be favored. Right now, they're down by 3 to the Dream with about 3 minutes left in the third. Over 164 here is looking good. We're trending up that way. Right now, the live line on that game is 166. And then the other game to pay attention to here is the Sun in the Sky. The Connecticut Sun are without their coach, Kurt Miller, right now. He's dealing with some personal things. And also Jonquel Jones, who is the MVP leader in the clubhouse for the WNBA right now. She is overseas right now. She's going to miss most of June. She's playing some tournament in Europe. So she is huge loss for the Sun. Somebody asked me on Twitter today, actually, Danielle, why am I seeing the Sky -4.5 over the Sun right now? And I said, they don't have Jonquel Jones. They don't have their coach. And the Sky have Candace Parker back. And since they've had her back, they've been just killing it. So I am a little bit nervous of my son plus 4.5 here, but hopefully they can stay in pace with the sky here.
A side and a total for the whole schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. Kelly, update everything else, if you would, Major League Baseball, if you could, sir.
Yeah, we'll start over in the majors. We'll do that. Cubs with the 2-0 lead on the Mets, bottom of the fourth inning. If you wanted to get in live there, we are -200 on the Mets, -200 on the Cubs, sorry, +165 on the Mets. Your live total in that game is 6.5. Cardinals and Braves are scoreless. They are in the top of the fifth inning. If you wanted to hop in live there, Braves -180, Cardinals +150 and 4.5. The live total. Yankees with a 3-2 lead over the Blue Jays, top of the fourth. Yankees -190 live. Blue Jays +155 and 11.5 the total. Astros with an early lead on the White Sox, 3-0, top of the second. Astros -550 live. White Sox 4-1 and 10.5 the total. NHL game is underway. Lightning Islanders, we're about 7 minutes into that game. It is still scoreless. If you wanted to hop in live now, though, about pregame numbers, we're -135 on the Lightning, +115-ish on the Islanders, and the total at about 4.5 shaded to the over now. So that would be the one thing that has adjusted. The Nets and Bucks getting set to go here in about 7 minutes, I'll say, but more like 17 probably. that is at DraftKings 5.5. That's been doing the whole ping pong from 4.5 and 5.5 for the past couple hours at DraftKings. But 5.5 at DraftKings, you'll see 5.5 most other places.
And those, Gil, you're talking about that game tomorrow, that Jazz Clippers game down to 1.
So the other, we said Kawhi. I saw that Donovan Mitchell actually just got listed as questionable for tomorrow.
Okay.
So he was probable, you know, in those past couple games. So it is a slight bit of a downgrade for him on the injury side of things. Same thing with Joel Embiid, he got listed as questionable for the game tomorrow night.
And by the way, we'll talk more about this later. We'll update the odds at the U.S. Open, the 121st U.S. Open. But in case you missed it today, Russell Henley, the leader in the clubhouse, 4-under 67 there at Torrey Pines, 1-stroke lead over both Francesco Molinari of Italy and Rafa Cabrera Bello of Spain. Everybody else, whether in the clubhouse, at least the best scorers either remaining beyond those three guys in the clubhouse or on the course, are 2-under. Koepka and Schauffele in the clubhouse with a 2-under 69 for the day, but still on the course at 2-under at varying points, all through 11. Hayden Buckley, Richard Bland, and South Africa's Christian Bezuidenhout, who just bogeyed to fall back to 2-under. Also, Rory McIlroy through 8 at 2-under. The one guy I said all week, nobody's mentioning Rory. Two back, lurking. And then there's a whole bunch of guys we'll get into later who just had bad days. We'll talk about that when we get to the U.S. Open. Danielle, a football prop. Can I interest you in bringing something to the table on that next?
Oh, yeah, we got more.
Okay. And by the way, later, Matt and I go through, and Kelly, are you part of this as well?
I'm just going to comment on both of yours.
Oh, you're just going to criticize.
Yes. I see.
Our sleeper teams in the NFL this year, the ones we think are overrated, some breakout players, who we think is going to the Super Bowl, a whole bunch tonight on VSiN's Primetime Action.
Baseball season is in full swing, so it's the perfect time to work on cashing tickets every day. Our VSiN experts give you all the tools to make the most of every baseball bet, including live odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com/MLB and our daily members-only best bet emails. Now is the time to start your free trial and take advantage of all the betting opportunities this baseball season at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil.
Tampa Bay Lightning on the board first, a goal that had about 3 or 4 ricochets, then an impossible angle. That went in from Gordon. So Tampa Bay is up 1-0. Game 3 on Long Island, as that series is knotted up at 1 game apiece. So Lightning up 1-0. That was Andy McNeil's play. He loved the Lightning tonight. We shall see. Early going, still in the first period. Danielle,
yes.
NFL, what do you
yes.
got?
We've done receiving. We've done some quarterback props. Let's take a look at the rushing totals now. So leader in the clubhouse here with the most yards on the total, Derrick Henry for the Titans. So 1,700.5 is the number for him. Dalvin Cook, 1,400 and a half yard. Nick Chubb for the Browns, 1,300 and a half. Jonathan Taylor, 1,250 and a half. We have Saquon Barkley at 1,175 and a half. Ezekiel Elliott, 1,100 and a half. Christian McCaffrey, 1,075 and a half. And Miles Sanders, 1,000 is the number.
All right, let me make a confession here. It is very much the trait of a novice bettor to always like favorites and overs in things, right? When I look at this prop, I feel like it's an overfest, and that concerns me greatly, right? Because I look at Derrick Henry, who was north of 2,000 yards last year, right? He's at 1,700. I look at Jonathan Taylor, who had a great early stretch to his career. Nick Chubb talking big things with Cleveland. Saquon coming back from an injury. Zeke, who's going to just be a bell cow for the Cowboys. Christian McCaffrey coming back for injury. All of these look low to me in a 17-game season, so I should not be the one to talk.
Is Derrick Henry's lower because of the Julio news?
I would say under on Henry if I was going to play it. Just strictly based off, like, giving a guy 100 yards a game.
Yes.
It's right. Just, like
if he misses,
unheard of.
Like, and if he misses one game.
Yeah,
right.
On principle, you should not play it.
So, like, on principle, that would be an under bet for me. And if I lost it, then it would just, I'd be okay with it.
Cut to a shot of us after week 17. Well, he gained 2,000 again, didn't he?
2,200 yards for old Derrick Henry. Yep. Played every snap. You know, like, didn't sit out a single snap. Played both ways, actually. Linebacker. But, yeah, no, I just, on principle. Principle alone, I can't with a guy that's 100 yards a game. There's just you can't do that. So under there for me for sure. Couple of guys, look, McCaffrey and Barkley coming back from injury, right? So that's always a thing as to will they get a full workload? Will they get limited? Yeah. All those different things like that. So that's kind of that's the only question really around those guys, because if they get a full workload, then you would think that, certainly from a Saquon side of things. Christian McCaffrey, the thing is they could use him just so much out of the backfield as a pass catcher and stuff, like basically use him as an extension of the running game with the pass. But like Saquon, for sure, if Saquon's healthy and if we knew 100% that Saquon was healthy, then yes, that would be an over all day long, all day long on him.
Yeah, I recuse myself
from
this.
Not a player I'd want to bet an under on.
Yeah, this is not a prop I would bet, typically speaking, but since we're talking about it, there's too many variables to some of these guys. Christian McCaffrey, for his career, and this is before he was injured, of course, last season, just in terms of rushing yards, trying to get the old computer to fire up here, but 1,075 and a half for him, for his career, calling up his career stats. Let's see. Oh, I don't have those. Pardon me.
I'm a little surprised Zeke's. I guess if I had to play one over, I think it would be Ezekiel Elliott, actually.
I think there's a healthy amount of Tony Pollard built into that projection.
Is that what it is? It must be.
Like, huh? I think that it's one of those deals where people are kind of trying to read the tea leaves here, whereas... we talked about several times throughout the course of the season last year. When Pollard was on the field, he looked like the more talented guy. Yeah. Like he actually looked like the
so
more explosive
burst.
Guy.
So much more burst.
And so I think there's probably a healthy amount of Pollard in that projection right there.
Just like even that, he had 979 yards last year. Like
1,357 before that, 1,434, 983, and 1,631 for Zeke. So yeah. Zeke, we've seen it happen a lot. By the way, the answer to the Christian McCaffrey number of 1,075 and a half, he's done it twice, 2019 and 2018, 1,387 and 1,098. Just got past that rushing yards we're talking, right? Did obviously huge damage through the air. But just in terms of strict rushing yards, he's beaten that twice.
The thing about Dalvin Cook, too, with that number is so long as we believe that the Vikings are going to keep the same offensive strategy and we really have no reason to think that they wouldn't, So last year, if you take a look at what Dalvin Cook did, he got that done. He got to 1,557 yards last year in 14 games, right? So he missed two games, beat that 1,400-yard total by 150 yards, and he gets an extra game this year. So if you believe that the strategy stays the same, which, again, I don't think they're going to drastically change the strategy there, you would definitely lean towards the over on Dalvin Cook as well. The Nick Chubb one's fairly interesting because they do have a lot of another very solid option in the backfield for them, and you get the return of Odell Beckham. You get a more confident Baker Mayfield. Like, they might throw the ball a little bit more this year than they did last year. I expect them to throw the ball a little bit more this year than they did last year. So that one's a little interesting to me, a little dicey.
I would say the Chubb under, if you're saying pick an under now, that's the one I would go to.
Yeah.
Just because there's not enough footballs to go around.
Right.
Not enough footballs to go around there in Cleveland, which is a good thing, by the way, for them. But, you know, and then Jonathan Taylor, it's sort of like, what do you expect out of the Indianapolis offense with Carson Wentz? I'm not sure, but I certainly wouldn't bet an under and enjoy that bet either.
Yeah, yeah. I would lean over him. I think I'm with you. I think Chubb would be, like Derrick Henry, like a principal under, Chubb under.
Right, the thing where you look at Henry and you go, is he likely to, if he plays all the games, is he going to go over 1,700? For sure.
Yes.
But like, again, these are running back. I mean, Dalvin Cook, like we just said, I mean, yes, he beat the 1,400 that's listed up there, but he missed two games. If you go down this list, Derrick Henry is the only guy that played every game, just about. Mm-hmm. Like pretty much every one of these other guys missed games somewhere along the way. Yeah. And so you know, Henry, again, it's like you're giving him 100 yards a game at 17 games.
It is a 17-game schedule, yep. But to your point, Derrick Henry only last year, right, with over 2,000 yards, did he exceed 1,700 yards in a regular season rushing. So it's 1,540 the year before that, just over 1,000 the year before that. So, I mean, yeah, on principle, like you say, Kelly, on principle and under on Derrick Henry, by basic football and under on Nick Chubb, but not something I'd gravitate towards.
No, I would maybe put a little nugget on Henry on the under, but that's about it.
Okay, all right, yeah. I like it. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Jazz and the Clippers last night. We'll look at that number moving in Game 6. It's VSiN's primetime action on a Thursday night from the South Point.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
So Sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook now and get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Simply download the app and use promo code VSIN to get started with the only top-rated sportsbook that matters, DraftKings. You can bet on it. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Gil Alexander.
Danielle Alvari, much to get to here. And we'll get to the Clippers and the Jazz here momentarily. But first, just some old news and notes here. One, Wimbledon news. Couple things today. I'm not sure that they were massive shockers, but in terms of betting markets, something to keep to be aware of. Rafael Nadal pulls out of Wimbledon and the Olympics, by the way. Naomi Osaka, some hours later, does the same on the ladies' side. She, of course, doing that after pulling out of the French Open with, as she said, mental health concerns. She will participate. She's looking forward to playing in the Olympics in Japan, the country that she represents on tour. So both, though, Nadal on the men's side and Osaka out of tennis's grass major, Wimbledon.
And what that did do on the women's side is it actually did shift the odds, because one of the very big favorites is now no longer playing. So while it didn't move Ash Barty's odds, she was at 550 last time we checked in as well. Serena's down to 7.5 now, where she was at 9.5. So she's down to 7.5.
Kvitova's for her grass. Is that a good one for Serena? At this point?
Well, historically,
she's great on everything, yeah, right? Grass and hard courts being the best. But, to the point there, Matt, though, because we were talking a little bit about this before the show, and this from a guy, again, who I am not shy about playing futures on the women's side of tennis. I've hit 4 of the last 7 outrights before the tournament. That absence didn't, like, it my instinct was, I got to run to the book and play somebody now. And I got to tell you,
it didn't trigger anything
mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, okay, I would have bet on Osaka. It's a crapshoot.
Just to have it, or because she was your actual favorite?
She was the person that I would have bet on.
Mm.
And in fact, have an 8-to-1 ticket on her to win Wimbledon.
Not anymore, you
don't. Not anymore, I don't. So it didn't make me race to bet anybody. I don't know if you mm-hmm. thought of anyone specifically.
No, and not at all, actually. And especially on... with the way that women's tennis has played out over the last 18 months on this particular surface, it's almost like I can't go there.
25 people could win this.
Yeah.
Andreescu is kind of interesting, but I don't know. We don't have grass data. And for some of these players, we don't have grass data ever. Like 2 years ago, 3 years, all time in some cases. So it's just really difficult. And like Matt said, on the men's side, Nadal pulling out, you're sort of like, well, Djokovic still the favorite.
All it did was Djokovic went from +110 to +1 to even money. So
I think I saw +125 a couple days ago, but you're right. Not, he's -109 right now. Yeah. So
I said this on a numbers game the other day. If you did say bet two other dudes besides Djokovic, Berrettini and Medvedev would be the only other two players I could justify a bet on.
Why
the men's
no Tsitsipas?
Because
I saw he was pretty high up the board for the
I don't
odds.
Think he's better than those guys.
Medvedev,
and especially based on the numbers.
Medvedev 6-1, Berrettini 22-1.
Yeah, right, those would be the. But it's Djokovic's tournament to lose, and Djokovic going for the Grand Slam. He's trying to win his third consecutive, and if he does that, then he's got the U.S. Open to do that in the calendar year of 2021. Hasn't been done since 1968 and Rod Laver. So he's chasing that. And if he does that, he will also top Nadal and Federer for the most Grand Slam singles titles of all time.
We missed what the time was.
Oh, we did.
On the tip off.
We totally did. Sorry. Tennis. Tennis
Dang.
Got us distracted.
Don't know if we were over or under.
4-2, by the way, Milwaukee. A little less than 3 minutes into this one. And James Harden tries a very lazy behind-the-back pass that gets batted out of bounds. Mavericks. So there are 7 head coaching vacancies now in the National Basketball Association. Some feel if Milwaukee loses tonight, there might be 8, if you know what I mean. But the Mavericks become the 7th because on the heels of Donnie Nelson, after 24 years being ousted from the organization, today Rick Carlisle just walked away.
With 2 years left on his contract.
With 2 years left on his contract. And again, this gets back to this supposed rift that's taking place in the Mavericks front office perhaps created by former sports bettor, former quotes, Haralabis Vulgaris, who made his hay betting the National Basketball Association, who the Mavericks hired to run their analytics department. And Kelly, did you get that tweet I just sent you here recently? The latest rumor, by the way, and who knows, you know, again, speculative on why all of these guys are, you know, why this is happening, this upheaval in the Mavericks front office. This from Jonathan Wasserman. He was told that the Mavs' decision to take Josh Green over Sadiq Bey frustrated a number of key executives and scouts. Some wanted Bey in the draft. Analytics said Green and won. Bey went one pick later and was just named to the first team all-rookie team. That from Jonathan Wasserman, who is the lead NBA scout and draft analyst for Bleacher Report. So, I don't know. You know Haralabob, yeah, do you?
I mean, I don't. Maybe there's much more going on in that organization than I know. But, I mean, I thought everything I had heard and everything that people even close to him had told me was just really and truly more in an advisor role, just like, you know, things like that. But, I don't know. I mean, a lot of times when there's smoke, there's a little bit more to it. You know, it's probably – this probably has been blown up bigger than it actually is, but there's probably – but it probably is bigger than, like, he's nothing but an advisor.
The only thing I'll say just to put a ribbon on it is if Rick Carlisle is leaving on his own volition and Donnie Nelson is out based on Mark Cuban's supposed loyalty to Vulgaris, please explain that to me because I'll never understand that.
I don't know what's going on, but I cannot – there's just – my brain cannot even begin to comprehend walking out on Luka Doncic at the age of 22. We're still at 22, right?
That's right.
I mean, you're talking, this is like bailing on, I mean, this might be a stretch, but like, this is bailing on a Jordan or LeBron, like early in their careers and being like, this organization is too big of a mess. Even though this guy's this good, I got to get out of here.
Best point made so far.
And I don't know, like, that blows my mind that someone could be that upset with their work atmosphere to let go the opportunity of coaching a guy as talented as Luka Doncic.
Well said. I got nothing to add. That's exactly right. It's got to be toxic.
It's got to be horrible.
By the way, Bucks 10-2 over Brooklyn now, 7:49 left in the first quarter. Giannis attempting a free throw on the and one to extend the lead to 9. What do you know?
That one
he made.
I mean, Gil, you know what it kind of reminds me of is in a different situation, but Doug Collins in the Phil Jackson transition, right? Where it's like in Chicago in those young days where you're kind of like, yeah, sure, I'll come in and take this beautiful Christmas present that you've left me with Michael Jordan. Like, absolutely.
Right, but that was, you know, there were some rumors that it was Jordan-induced, and if it wasn't Jordan-induced, right, it was, you know.
Hey, Collins didn't quit.
It wasn't somebody polluting the owner in the front office.
We have a James Harden three-pointer.
James Harden with a three.
So he has already made one more than he did in 46 minutes the other night.
Yeah, answered by a Lopez bucket. So keep scoring points, people. I need points.
Yeah.
For this first half over. Last night, the other game, we didn't talk about it yet. But, you know, after that Philly-Atlanta game, there's not much that could top that. But if anything came close, it was that game between the Jazz and the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. And again, if you missed it, Kawhi's out for game 6, too, just announced before the show. The Jazz go 17 of 30 from behind the arc in the first half and only lead by 5 at the break. What did they do behind the arc in the second half? 3 of 24. And playoff Paul George, playoff P, 37 points leads the way. Clippers beat the Jazz as 8.5-point dogs. They win by 8, 119 to 111. The Clip Show makes their mark, down their best player. Can they sustain that, though?
It was pretty impressive. I'm not going to lie.
I was extremely impressed.
I was pretty impressed, especially with the way that the ancillary guys stepped up and helped out as well. I mean, there was nobody who was really kind of a drag on that team out there at all. I mean, like, I guess the biggest one maybe you could look at is, I mean, Patrick Beverley played 17 minutes and didn't really chip in much of anything.
He had a couple stupid fouls, too.
Yeah, I mean, but outside of that, I mean, man, it Batum was good, Morris was good, Jackson was good.
Reggie Jackson Kelly, who made not one, but two end of shot clock jumpers that were just amazing.
Where you were like, how are you going to get this shot off, much less go in, and it does. And then, man, Terrence Mann with that I guess it's a dunk, but barely around Rudy Gobert.
Posterized, I think.
Right, yeah. Like, as much as you can posterize a Rudy Gobert, I guess that's what it was. But I guess I look at this game a little bit like when we were talking Nets-Bucks before that game got started. I just don't know. Can you reproduce, like, can the Clippers reproduce that again? Because they kind of, when we drew out that game yesterday before it tipped off, it was like, okay, well, yeah, you know, we were all pretty sold on the Jazz. And it's like, the only way the Clippers can do this is that if Paul George has a massive night and then gets a lot of help from a Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, and others. Well, that's exactly what happened. So can they do it for another game or two? And I just don't know that if I believe that they can.
I don't know if there was anything to read into this, but after the little retweaking of the ankle for Donovan Mitchell, right? So we look at the last two games. 9 of 26 from the floor for 34% shooting. He was 6 of 19 last night for 31% shooting. Now, I don't know. Maybe they changed up the way they were guarding him. I don't, you know, again, I'm not super NBA mind to be able to figure that type of stuff out. But the two games since the little retweak, he shot 53% in game one. He shot 52% in the next game. He shot 46% in the next game to 34% to 31%.
And again,
I think I see where you're going with that.
And again, I think for anybody out there looking at the Sixers or the Jazz tomorrow night, just keep in mind that both you got Mitchell and Embiid currently listed as questionable. And I think there are maybe some rightful concerns. So keep your eye on that status before you go make a bet.
If the Jazz or the Sixers lose, let's say they both lose, what's the bigger disappointment?
Sixers.
I say probably Sixers, but yeah. Man, it's just the year of the injury.
The year of the injury. We'll come back. We get to talk football, our projections in the NFL season, a June projection, and we'll update all the scores. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.